Go.
Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. I am your host, Kelly Gamont, and I'm sorry if Dave spoiled the intro there for you by letting you know he was going to be with me today. Hi, Dave.
Hey, sorry. You'd think after 13 and a half years of podcasting, I'd know when to shut up, but there you go.
Well, that's why you're on with me today. Also with me today is Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Now, today we have a couple interesting topics, and the first one I want to talk about is an interesting piece that went up over at iMore today about air power. And we'll have a link to that in the show notes, but basically, remember air power? It was in 2017. It showed up, or no?
Yeah, they 2017. Were announced,
they were announced in 2016, I think. That it was coming because it was supposed to come with, because the 8 and the 8 plus and all of that was supposed to be.
That's right.
And then you could get a new case for your AirPods so that you could just lay them on the mat. And you could lay your phone on the mat, and you could lay your new watch on the mat, and all that was going to be awesome.
And everything could charge. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And Apple was going to like make it part of the Qi standard or contribute the work that they had done mm-hmm. on this multi-device thing back to the Qi standard so everybody could take advantage of this and all that stuff. And I have to be perfectly honest with you. In fact, you could probably look back through our live keynote coverage where I said this. I said, wow, this sounds like something that they thought of yesterday and included in the keynote today so that they'd have something cool to announce. It felt like vaporware. I have no doubt that someone at Apple dreamed this idea up. And it was just kind of in the, you know, like, oh, that's someday, right. Yeah, that would be, that would be cool. And they were digging around looking for something and found that and said, yeah, mock it up. We're announcing it tomorrow.
Well, and I'm the one that brings it up all the time because we've had how many events since? And I keep going, is this the one where we're going to get the air power? Is this the one where we get the mat? Is this the one where we get the mat?
No.
I
don't think we'll ever get it. I like there's a lot of engineering that needs to happen to make something like that work mm-hmm. in a way that Apple would be okay with, right? You could certainly do it and just put three Qi coils in a mat and paint targets on the mat so that you mm-hmm. you know, it's just like putting three Qi coils next to each other with three different cables coming out of them and you put your stuff down and it charges. That's not how Apple wants it to work, right? Apple mm-hmm. wants it to be this mat that wherever it is on there, it's this lovely magical experience, and that's not how Qi currently works. Mm-hmm. So lots of engineering required. Is it impossible? No. I think that's why they announced it, because they did a quick, SWOT analysis of it and said, yeah, it's possible. We can do anything. We're Apple. We've got lots of money. Sure. Announce it. We'll figure it out and figure it out in the mix, like fix it right in post. And they haven't fixed it in post. No.
Well, and so far it sounds like the thing that needs fixed based on what more than one person has heard from more than one person is that heat is the big, is a huge issue right now. And the thing about it that I thought was interesting was that there's still all this evidence that they really want it to be true. One of the things that's pointed out is that Apple Watch Series 4 has a version of the version 4 Milanese loop opens up easily so that you can lay it flat, perhaps upon a mat to charge it. And then the air power stuff is somehow it's like still on the packaging for like the 10S and the 10R.
Yeah.
And somebody at 9to5 said that 12.1 still has like some iOS 12.1 still has like some references to the charging interface with air power. So it's only mostly dead. Like that's the best we can come up with.
Well, it's not dead yet.
Yeah, we're not seeing it soon, right?
Yep, but it should be dead. Like I
yeah.
Apple should stop letting this distraction float out there.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this article from iMore will trigger that. right? Like maybe attention to the fact that this is not coming. Like there's, and really Imar's article is great because it takes all of the coverage from everyone, not just Imar. In fact, mostly not from Imar,
right.
And assembles it all together into a timeline that kind of explains, yeah, it ain't coming. Like,
yeah,
and that's how I read this. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, obviously Apple's not listening to me. Maybe they'll listen to Renee.
But, sure, maybe.
But
or maybe they'll blacklist him for putting something like this together. Who knows?
Yeah, it honestly, odds are 50-50, I think, at this point.
Absolutely.
Making that happen. Yeah. I really wanted it to be true. And part of the reason I wanted it to be true was because it was Qi charging. And the reason that I was interested in that is because then finally there'd be one standard to rule them all. And then, you know, with Apple being part of that, you know, it's like when the iMacs came out and everybody was like, what is this weird gumdrop machine? And why can't I plug any of my ADB stuff into it anymore? Because Apple doubled down on USB. And if Apple hadn't done that, there may not be USB now. Everything would be, you know, some weird mishmash of
everything else. Is a thing. Like Apple's adoption of Qi did not change the fact that Qi was already very, very popular. Just like NFC is super popular on Android phones, not just for paying your bills, but for connecting to audio devices and all that stuff. Apple's late to that game too.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong. It further legitimizes Qi to have Apple using it, but this wasn't the make or break for Qi,
no.
In my opinion.
Yeah. No, but what I wanted was, there was still a couple of years ago, and it wasn't new to have wireless charging, but not everything was Qi, and it was still sort of a VHS Betamax. Apparently it's old school references from Kelly today on the show. It was still sort of a VHS Betamax. You had one or the other. And, you know, Starbucks put some wireless charging into some tables in some places, but they didn't work with everybody's phone and, you know, one thing and another. And so one of the reasons I liked Apple coming out with AirPower and stepping into that game was because then maybe Qi would win and then people could just design stuff for Qi charging and be done with it. And then everybody have Qi and it'd be great.
I was in an Uber here in New York. I'm in Manhattan today and was in an Uber just before our meeting here. And there was a Qi charger in the back of the Uber that I could use if I wanted. Also a lightning cable, also, a micro USB cable. So, yeah, it was like, oh, look at that. An Uber branded Qi charger. Like, that's super handy and not fully universal, of course, but fairly universal, you know, especially for people that are going to be using Uber. So, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
And the fact that Series 3 and Series 4 Apple Watches are Qi charging and iPhones from 8 up are Qi charging, all of that is super helpful, is more weight toward Qi and making Qi the thing that wins. So it may end up going that way anyway. I was just sort of excited about something like AirPower getting other third-party folks into the game and making, you know, more chargers and stuff available and having the opportunity to make those things more interesting for other people.
Here's my advice for everybody. Don't wait for AirPower. Go to Monoprice. Buy yourself a bunch of cheap pucks. The other day they were like $5 a piece. Seriously, $5 for the you know, 5-amp version and 5-watt version. Sorry, not 5-amp. And that would be a lot of power.
Yes.
And then it was like $19 for the you know,
the fast one.
2.1, the fast one. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And like, at that price, just buy a bunch of them and you're good to go. And don't worry about Apple whenever they're going to come out with their thing. And there you go.
And when I was on the Mac Voices gift guide, my first pick was the Anchor one that's like the charging stand.
That stands up.
Yep. I like that one on the nightstand. And the reason that's funny is because as I was doing it, one of the other panelists was texting me, "You ganked my pick." And then as I was doing it, Chuck made a face and held one up on camera as I was doing it. So I'm like,
so here's my question about that.
Yeah.
I am a big fan of Ventev's version of the same thing. It's been out longer, which is why I started using it before the Anchor one came out. And the thing I really like about Ventev's is the light turns off after 30 seconds. So you don't have this bright blue light on your nightstand all night long. Does the Anchor leave its light on all night?
The light is on all night. I drew over it with a Sharpie and it's fine.
Yep.
Yeah. But right, also, so, like, my mom charges hers in the kitchen. I got her one for her birthday this year.
Sure.
So she doesn't care if it's blue or not. It's just enough. It's just a visual indicator. I like that you can also put your phone on it sideways. So if you want to watch Netflix or something.
You can do that one with the Ventev one. In fact, it's got multiple angles and all that stuff. So I highly recommend the Ventev one for those reasons. So there you go.
Yep. Yeah, anyway. Very nice. But yeah, just go buy some pucks. I'm with Dave on this. Don't wait for Apple to make the miracle unit because if it comes, it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be $200 and you're going to have to buy a new AirPod case and, you know, you're going to be on the hook for a bunch of stuff anyway. So just go to Monoprice or like Amazon has had a few on special for holiday gift giving and things like that. So check the reviews. But yeah, just go buy some. Go get some because once you have one, maybe two wireless options, they're fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. If you can just throw it down wherever you plant yourself, have one there. And it's a great thing. You just, you know, it keeps you charged all the time. So,
yeah, it's super duper great and super easy because you just lay it there. You don't have to plug anything in. You know, yeah, that's what I love about the stand. I just hold it and touch the stand part with my fingers to make sure my phone is sort of lined up. And it starts charging. It's fantastic. Yeah. So, yes, if you don't have one, Dave and I are here to tell you to get with it. And it also does make a great gift because it's a really nice way to level up something that people are already doing. Like, I have a lightning cable. Why would I go buy one of these chargers? But then you give someone as a gift and they really love it. Like, my mom has already called me and been really excited about it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, they're super great. Andrew, are you using wireless charging for anything?
Right now, no.
All right. Well, I don't know if you've heard, but Dave and I are really excited about it. So you might want to look into it. I would like to spend a minute and tell you all about our sponsors today. And our first sponsor is Eve Energy. You know, I'm a smart home nerd. I've got a lot of stuff. And one of the ones I really like is Eve Energy. And it allows you to monitor devices and energy consumption. You can turn them on and off. You can use the assistant in your phone to turn them on and off. It's pretty great. And if you want to find out more, you can go to eveenergy.com. And you should be all set with that. I really like having their stuff. And I also like that it's really easy to use. So if you have to explain it to someone else who lives in your house who maybe doesn't think troubleshooting devices on a Saturday night is their idea of a good time, it's still really easy to set up. It's really easy to run. And they're pretty great. So you should check them out.
It's actually evehome.com.
Evehome.
EVEHOME.com.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
I totally would have put Eve Energy and that would have been bad. So our other sponsor today is, as I keep telling you guys, one of the ones that you should really know about heading into tech support season, and that is Jamf Now. Jamf Now is a device management system, and it lets you set up, manage, and protect Apple devices. You log into a web dashboard. You can look at all your devices. You can get serial number information off of them. You can get the version of iOS that they're running. You can push settings to them. I know somebody who has a relative that is chronically nuking email settings for no apparent reason, and this gives you a really easy way to restore that. And you can put three devices on for free forever, and then additional devices are $2 a month. So if you head over to the Jamf website at jamf.com/TDO, you can sign up for your free account. So the other topic I wanted to talk about today, Andrew, was with you. You had seen, we talked about it briefly earlier today, something about privacy protection laws, but the United States flavor.
Yeah, so I've been hearing about this for a while now, and there are a little bit more murmurings about future plans. Tim Cook has talked about this before in response to everything that has been going on in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
He supports this type of regulation. So it's not confirmed yet, but one of the... Senator Blumenthal said that a draft could be finished early in the session next year. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it will be happening.
So this would be similar to, just in broad strokes, this would be sort of like the GDPR things that we saw earlier this year in primarily in Europe, where there's a whole bunch there's a whole different set of things that you have to opt into or opt out of with regards to your email address and data that people collect from you online and things like that, correct?
Yeah. So a couple of things on the table for this would be finding tech companies for misusing data, and also finding them to, if they fail to sufficiently protect the data, which kind of goes back to that conversation we had, me, you, and John, about, you know, negligence and how do you measure that?
Yes. So
it's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, and I think it will be interesting to see what those parameters look like. Mm-hmm. So when it comes down to some of that stuff, on the one hand, I want to be excited about this being a law, but on the other hand, I don't know how much I trust Congress when it comes to legislating technology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've seen, wasn't it, I think it was like John McCain who asked somebody why his iPhone wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing in a hearing.
Something like that.
Yeah, we've seen, you know, in my lifetime, we've seen somebody at a Senate hearing say, please speak into the machine, which is a thing I remember really vividly. So, like, on the one hand, like, but, you know, I'm conflicted about this because my senator is, I live in Oregon, one of my senators is Ron Wyden. Ron Wyden's on top of this stuff. He understands it and is able, you know, in those Senate hearings and stuff, if you listen to the stuff that he's asking about, it's clear he understands what he's asking and what the implications of the answer would be. And mm-hmm. he does a lot more than a lot of senators do to make sure that he understands that stuff and how it affects people, which is good because there's so much of it out there to be doing. If I had a different senator, I would probably be more concerned. But, you know, so I hope that the people who are in the know on this kind of thing are the people who end up actually being in a position to shape that legislation. Dave, are you? Sorry, Dave had to drop out, so he's actually not here. So I'm, you know, like I said, I'm glad to see that somebody's going to be doing this, but I'm worried about the form that it will take.
Yeah, my fear is that with this current administration, I think that I'm afraid that if a bill like this does get created, carriers and ISPs and lobbyists will mm-hmm. hamstring it so much that it will be effectively worthless.
Right. And then everybody will get to point at, but we passed it. And then, you know, everyone else will have to point out, but it doesn't do anything. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, as soon as you get to negligence, yeah, I mean, look at the current struggle we're having with net neutrality. And, you know, you can tell that at a minimum, this bill has an uphill battle to climb. It's going to be rough. It doesn't seem unreasonable. And, you know, it seems like a thing that we should be doing. So I hope to hear more on that. Definitely, for people listening, if you are interested in this or if you know anything more about this, please know that we will definitely be covering it. As soon as we have more information about it, you'll have more information about it. I think, we are verging on, what John calls, I've told you more than I know, particularly because a lot of companies are based in the United States, not just have a business presence here, which is sort of what some of the European stuff was. I'm even more interested to see how they're going to hold people to that. So,
yeah. So hopefully it works out.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to more reporting from you on that as soon as we have anything, as soon as we have more to report. And I do want to thank Dave for joining me today. He wasn't able to stay for the whole show, but I wanted to thank him anyway for showing up and talking to me about air power, because I think there might be more to talk about there. And Andrew, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about privacy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I do want to make sure that people know you can follow up with us by leaving comments in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter at TMO Daily, and you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. This is the Daily Observations podcast for Wednesday, November 28th, 2018. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.